suddenly, Bowie is back. But it's Bowie like never before. She was the young America, all the way from Washington. Her breadwinner begs off the bathroom floor. We live for just these 20 years. Do we have to die for the 50 more? All right. David Bowie, happening now on his new album, Young Americans, on RCA Records and Tapes.
And on bass guitar, and who's actually going to join me on this next song? Join me is not the word. Takes this next song, Gail Ann Dorsey. Go, girl.
Hello, and welcome back to Album with me, Arslan Mohammed. For this, the second part of my conversation with Gail Ann Dorsey, which was recorded back in November 2024. In this part, Gail talks more about the seismic impact Young Americans made on her, and of course her friends and collaborators from across the Bowie universe, past and present, from Carlos Alomar, Mike Garson and David Sanborn, to her current project with Donny McCaslin and his mighty orchestral Black Star Symphony. And obviously along the way we come back time and again to that one omniscient figure who brought them all together. So, I hope you enjoy, and let's go. So who else was around on Young Americans? So we had Carlos, we had
Willie Weeks, the bass player.
I've never met him, but he's one of my oh my god.
Who was Willie Weeks?
Willie Weeks played. I don't know where his background is, but he played with Donny Hathaway. Mm-hmm. But he's been on a lot of stuff, like all the way from with Vince Gill.
Yes.
And Wynonna Judd. Like, he started doing some country stuff, but he's like Chuck Rainey, another one. They're like really versatile. They're not just R&B players, you know. They can play country, they can play, you know, pop, all that kind of stuff. But Willie Weeks is just, I don't know where he's from.
He's a big part of this album, though, when you listen to, especially you mentioned Fascination.
Exactly.
Is just such a killer. It's like John Deacon's playing on Another One Bites the Dust.
I need to look into Willie Weeks in terms of where his background, because I don't know exactly where
he's from.
I do know he's been on a billion things. And what the other thing that I know him from that makes him one of my heroes is Donny Hathaway. He's on like that live album from Donny Hathaway that's really, really famous. Because he gets called out. He's like, Donnie says, Willie Weeks on bass, you know. And it's like, oh, my God, the bass playing is just extraordinary.
Willie Weeks!
Like Cornell Dupree and like all those guys who played on all that great stuff, the Roberta Flack stuff, and you know.
I'm just looking at his.
So Willie Weeks was playing bass.
His Wikipedia entry right now, and honestly, so yes, you just mentioned that.
It's countless.
He played on Hathaway's Live from '72, including a 3.5 minute bass solo on Voices Inside.
That's
Everything
right.
Is Everything, which is regarded by many bass players as some of Weeks's best work. But yes, he's obviously played with Allman, Bowie, Buffett. Clapton, Crawford, Bo Diddley.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, the list goes, we'll be here for four
exactly.
hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
He's just one of those, like you know, Will Lee and all that. They're all on everything from forever. Lito Scolar,
oh,
the guy.
God. This is quite a funny quote here. When George Harrison was touring in 74, somebody said to him, you know, why didn't you get Paul? Call up Paul, get him back on bass. And George says, no, I'd rather have Willie Weeks than Paul McCartney. So there you go.
Don't blame him. I love Paul McCartney, but Willie Weeks is no, you know.
He's the man.
Yes, indeed.
And so
yeah, he's on bass. And the drummer was
Andy Newmark.
I got to work with him. Andy Newmark. I did an album with Andy. I did a Brian Ferry album with Andy Newmark.
Really?
Great drummer.
So let's
yeah,
see.
My version didn't come out. It was the Taxi album.
Oh,
we did that whole
yes.
album, and then Brian redid it with other. We were like the third people who did that album. Brian was very.
He's famously indecisive. Yes.
Oh my God!
Yes,
I've never seen anybody so indecisive. Yeah. So, but I did do a version of that album that that with Andy Newmark and I were the rhythm section on Taxi, on one incarnation of Taxi. Yeah. I think it ended up being Nathan East and Steve Ferroni on the final. But I did do the promotion for that album with Brian.
So even though he didn't use your recording, you were on the promo for it?
Yeah, I went and did the video, and I did some TV stuff with him. Just little stuff. Yeah.
It's funny, I had Guy Pratt on the podcast some time ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Guy was talking about Lodger. And he said,
Is he on that record?
No. But it's funny because Guy wanted to talk about Lodger as being his favorite Bowie album. But he said the same thing about Brian, about Brian was a lovely man, very lovely man, but terribly indecisive. Really, really indecisive.
What is he? A Libra, I think, which is kind of, I can't remember what his sign was, but I was like, what? This guy is like, what? But a nice guy. I liked him. He was very cool.
So, okay.
Very suave.
He's very suave.
Anyway.
Okay, so Andy was the drummer.
He is very nice.
Andy was the drummer. And then who else do we have here?
Right.
So we have Carlos.
We have Carlos.
We have Mike Garson. Now, again, this is another one.
Yeah, Mike was there.
Yeah, he was on.
Yeah, Mikey was there. Of course.
Fascination and Right. So, of course, another one of your touring alumnus.
Wow. Yes, Mikey. I love Mike. I need to give him a call. Yeah, Mike, of course.
He was, and again, coming from the left field very much, wasn't he, Mike? I mean, you know, this
Mike
guy,
is in his own world. He still is. He's still in his own world, Mikey. God bless him. Oh, my God. He's an incredible piano player.
He really is.
Really, really unique. And you know, again, it was like Bowie cast him. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to have something, you know, and he was just the perfect guy to bring that spice to the sauce. Mike was great.
He's one of those kind of long timers that kind of come back into the Bowie universe. Like
yes,
Slick,
absolutely.
Carlos,
one of the
Mike.
Oldest. Actually,
yeah.
I think he might be the
I think
very
he is.
Oldest.
I think you're right. I think he is the very oldest.
Because he was in the Spiders from Mars. I mean, yeah. In terms of someone who was and he was in the very last tour with us still. He was on Reality. Yeah, right. So Mike was, he's the long haul. He was out for a little while in the middle, but then he came back, but he's there for the bookends. Pretty impressive.
I love how when you played Glastonbury, he starts things off by this wonderful Greensleeves overture. And it's just, it starts off very conventionally, Greensleeves. And then he just starts dropping in very discordant random notes. Till by the end, you're feeling very worried. And he has this great ability
Mikey.
To just, you know, just kind of like wrong foot you. And he starts,
it's like
the music's made of toffee. He starts stretching it out and then pulling it back in and then moving it all over the place. I love that. But until I was looking at the track listing for our conversation today, I didn't realize that he was on Young Americans. So that's quite nice.
I didn't either for some reason. I don't know why, because whatever he played on that isn't traditional Mike Garson stuff. Mm. That's why it didn't stand out to me. You know, like Aladdin Sane was on the radio like yesterday, and I was like, oh, there's Mikey. But yeah, it didn't. I never thought about the keyboards much on this on this record. Of course, Sanborn.
I was just about to say
the late great Sanborn.
Were you in touch with him much? Did you meet him?
I had met him a few times, and I try never to have any regrets in my life, but now I regret that I didn't get my shit together to get him to play on a track for me, because he always offered. He was like, if you ever want me to play on something, I'd be happy to do it. And I had his phone number and everything, and he was the nicest guy, and I just was busy doing other things and never really got my shit together, which is, you know, happens from time to time. But something happened. I don't know what year was it? God, I don't know. It must have been, is it the pandemic year? I'm losing track of the years, but I don't know if it was right after David passed. I don't know if you recall, Mike Garson did a couple of years running. Mike Garson did a celebration of Bowie.
Yes, I remember.
Thing that was online. It was only online, and it was like a pay-per-view or something if you paid, and it would be up for 24 hours, and all these different people got together, myself included, and did a song, and we were all videoed ourselves at home or whatever, and they put it to – it was this big technological thing that I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And I did a couple of songs for that. And one that I think they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, you know, if I could sing any Bowie song, it would be Can You Hear Me from Young Americans. I love that song. And they, meaning Mark Platy, Catherine Russell, Everett Bradley, Mike Garson, Carlos, Robin, and Catherine Russell got together, did the backing vocals, and Sanborn played the sax again.
Wow.
And they sent me the track to sing on it.
No way.
And when it came to, and when I'm getting goosebumps again. Now I want to cry, because this is what happened when I heard that, so I haven't thought about it for a while.
Once we were lovers, can they understand?
Sent me the track to do my vocal here at home, and I put it on. I just wept. I cried for like an hour at least, because it was all of, other than Willie Weeks, or, you know, I can't remember who played. Sterling played the drum. It sounded just like the record, and my heart just like, I just was like, oh my God, you know, it just took, this is like my favorite Bowie record. Like, it was like.
That must have been a
and
moment.
And I just was, oh my God, to sing that song. And it was just, yeah, it was a big, big moment, especially with Sanborn on it as well.
Oh God. Wow. That song just pulls at the heartstrings every time.
It's just
extraordinary.
Stunning.
Extraordinary.
And to have Carlos and Robin, who were on the original of that record, as well as Sanborn and Garson. I mean, almost everybody. Except for Willie Weeks, the bass player, it was just incredible for me to like to be able to sing to that.
What an,
you know, obviously
experience.
Luther wasn't there. You know, Catherine was taking, but Catherine and Robin did the vocals just like they. I mean, it was unbelievable when it came out of the speakers. I just was like, oh my God, this is too much. I can't take it.
That is unbelievable.
I can't take it. I don't know if I'm happy or if I'm sad. I don't know where I am, but I'm just overwhelmed beyond belief. It was like the tears just.
Wow.
Oh my God. So good.
That must have been such a gas to do that. Wow. Mm. What an experience. What a feeling. You just mentioned Luther now. And of course, this was the album where Luther got his big break on this record. He showed up.
Yeah.
He was friends with Robin, wasn't he? Robin Clark, was he?
Yeah, very good. Robin and Carlos. And in fact, there's a film coming out about Luther Vandross.
Oh, really?
A documentary that Robin and them are involved with or have something to do with. And I just saw it on Instagram, and they're having a showing of it in New Jersey, where Robin and Carlos live, just outside of New York City. I'm about 2 hours north of the city. I don't live in New York City. I live in the Woodstock area in the Catskills. I was thinking, the reason I mentioned maybe I see Carlos on my birthday because they're showing it on Wednesday. I remember the last time I saw Carlos and Robin, which was at one of the Bowie conventions that they're having now. I did the very first one in Liverpool, but that was two summers ago. But Carlos was telling me about that then. They were saying there's going to be a film about Luther, and we're all, you know, because they all grew up together. They were really tight.
There's a lovely little anecdote where obviously he brings in funky music is a part of me. And plays it for David. And David's like, I love this. You know, it's such a groove. Do you mind if I change the lyrics? And apparently Luther says to Bowie, are you kidding? I live with my mum. You're David Bowie. Change the lyrics. And turns it into this wonderful, you know, the track that you heard on the radio all those years ago. Which is one of those standout tracks.
It was R&B, but it still had that Bowie thing in it. It wasn't like your typical. That's what was so great about him, and it's hard to do, you know. But he could sing anything, he could play anything in any style, but it would always be, it'd always have that Bowie-ness. Have his DNA in it.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but
well, he refracted everything through that prism of being Bowie, didn't he? He soaked in all these influences. All these people, all the energy of the people around him.
Yeah, that's what he was good at. Yeah,
keep coming back to this, is that he was a wonderful producer, in a sense. You know, he brought all these talents together. He knew what these people could do. One other big theme on this album I just wanted to quickly bring up was the Beatles, and specifically John Lennon, surprisingly present on this. There were a couple of thumbprints of the Beatles. I mean, we know that Bowie always loved Lennon in particular. They were very close around, they got close, I believe, around this time. You get quotes like, I heard the news today, oh boy, in the end of Young Americans. Obviously, there's Across the Universe, Lennon's there on Fame. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if that was something that had really caught your attention before, this Beatles crossover here.
Obviously, I knew that Across the Universe was the Lennon song. Mm. I got to know that after knowing David, that they were friends, they were close. There was a, you know, they had a similar kind of thing, a similar way of seeing the world, I think. But I didn't think that much about it. I won't say I'm not a Beatles fan, because I do love the Beatles. Who doesn't love the Beatles? But again, it's not something, it's more like I'm just into the great songwriting that they've done.
Well, you were talking about great songwriters earlier. I mean, there are tons of great songs there.
And the arrangements of those songs, which I just love, all the George Martin production and all that kind of stuff. But no, I didn't really think of that connection though about on Young America, in terms of him doing I've Got the News Today, Oh Boy. You know, I never thought about that. It's funny because I sing that song every January weekend of David's birthday since he passed away. We do a concert for him in New York City at a club called The Cutting Room. Mm. We meaning as many alumni who want to come and be a part of it. And it's usually, we had Carmen Rojas last year. I think he's coming back this year. And myself and Donnie McCaslin and Catherine Russell and Mark Plaidy. Yeah, Mark Plaidy does it. Henry Hay, who did The Lazarus and all that kind of stuff. And Next Day. And
wow,
yeah,
and that's a great lineup.
Jerry. Yeah, we have fun and we have different singers. We had Michael C. Hall, who did the play Lazarus, a singer from Philly named Jim Bogia, who's not related to Bowie, but we do Young Americans together. We sing that as a duet. It's just fun. I just sing in the show. I play guitar on a couple of things, but I sing Space Oddity, Life on Mars, Young Americans. Sometimes I do Lady Grinning Soul or something like that.
You do Life on Mars? That must be Wow.
That's, oh my God. I do Life on Mars with Don. I do that with Donnie McCaslin at the moment. We, you know, I don't know if you've, it hasn't come to London yet, but we're working on it. Well, I'm not working on it. It's not my project, but I sing in it. There's the thing, there's something called Black Star Symphony. Well, we've been doing that for the last couple of years off and on. Basically, it was someone had an idea. I think it was Donnie's manager to take the Black Star Band, or the core of the Black Star Band, or most members, Donnie and Tim Lefebvre on bass, and Jason Lindner on keyboards, to have, they went and they got, I think it's four different, maybe it's, no, I think it's four different modern orchestrators, arrangers, composers. They got four of them to write arrangements, orchestrated arrangements for an orchestra to go along with the seven songs on the Black Star album. Tony Visconti did one. Jules Buckley, who's a British guy, who's really great orchestrator and conductor. Another guy called Tim Davies, and the last one is Jamshid Sharifi. They're all kind of either film guys or whatever. Hmm. Jamshid just did a bunch of arrangements on two things for me, for my record, which are beautiful. They did orchestrations for the whole of the Black Star album.
Wow.
And then on top of that, they did Life on Mars, Space Oddity, Heroes, Where Are We Now? I think that's it.
Yeah.
So that's the concert. The concert is the whole of the Black Star album from beginning to end with the original band and a full orchestra.
God, conductor, that sounds amazing. And everything.
It is the most incredible thing you've ever, and they all did beautiful orchestrations.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Music, like incredible, but it shows you how powerful the songs, again, the songs themselves. Not everybody's song's going to stand up to an to an orchestra.
Well, this is what I thought you when know, you said this, was that the songs themselves are so rich and dense. And the structures.
And that album is, of course, has a certain, an extra bit of thing in it, you know, emotion and everything. And there are three singers, myself, John Cameron Mitchell, who wrote Hedwig and the Angry Itch, that film and the play, and a singer from L.A. called David Poe. And we are the singers. I do Lazarus. I do the opening song, Black Star. We take the show from city to city. We've only done it in the U.S. so far. We go to whatever city is going to put on the show, and we use their symphony orchestra. So we've done it with the Seattle Symphony, the Portland Symphony, the Charleston Symphony, Charlotte Symphony in North Carolina, South Carolina. And we did two nights at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in June with the National Symphony of the United States. We're doing San Francisco, St. Louis, and Nashville coming up in the spring. And we're going to eventually get to London and do it, I don't know, with the London Symphony or whoever, Philharmonic, whatever.
Yes.
But I get to sing Life on Mars. When we do, after Black Star, of course, we do the other songs, you know,
yes,
as a bonus. But I get to do Life on Mars in that show with only the symphony, no band.
Oh, my God.
Tim Davies arranged that arrangement, and it's one of the highlights of my life. I can't tell you how amazing it feels to sing that song with a full orchestra. I mean, like five double bass, like the full-on, like, you know, I'm having my Streisand moment. You know, it's like it's a total, you know. And it's just so beautiful. It's just like, it just moves me so much. And it's just, oh my God. Is there life on brings the house down every time, and it's just
I bet
so
it does.
Beautiful. And so I'm a lucky person. Who'll come to London? It's an independent project, you know. That's why it's like it's money and who wants to put it on. And when it was initially being discussed and trying to get off the ground, a lot of promoters were saying, "Well, but we need a singer. Who's going to be the star?" You know, and they asked everybody. We asked Seal. We asked Hozier. We asked Father John Misty, we asked, whoever, all the singers we could think of, the Coldplay, whoever, I don't know. They asked everybody that was famous, and nobody really wanted to do it. And even some people who weren't so famous were like, "Oh, I don't think I can sing Black Star." Of course, it's not easy. But the point that Donnie and I kept making is that we must remember it's not about this whole project, to me anyway, and I think Donnie and I agree on this, because it's really his thing, Donnie's thing, and Donnie plays so beautiful on it, and it's beautiful. And I love Donnie as well. We've become very good friends. We agree that the music, it's about the music. This experience of Black Star Symphony with a symphony orchestra is 100% about the amazing compositions of David Bowie. It's about the power and density and urgency of his music. It's not about who's singing it. As long as we do a decent job, a good job at it, it's not about, we're not selling a person, you know, it's not about that. And so it was really hard to get people to understand. And yeah. I think maybe even still some places don't want to take it because they'd rather have some famous person. But then it's like about a famous person trying to sing David Bowie. It's not, we're not trying to do that. We're just trying to elevate the music. It's like doing a regular orchestral piece. It's like the singer is the singer. It's about Mozart. It's not about the vocalist. Well, some are better than others, or some sing it in a different type of way. But it's still already, when you go to the symphony, you're going to hear Mozart. You know, you're going to hear whatever.
Exactly. That particular individual, you're going to experience this music. But I do love the synchronicity here of Bowie all those years ago seeing something in you and insisting that you could sing under pressure, and you thought, "I can't sing under pressure," and he knew you could. And all these years later, you are there interpreting these songs. Isn't that something that's special? It's
extremely special. It's very rare. I think anybody can. Well, maybe it's not rare. I don't think I shouldn't say that, because it's probably not rare now that I think about it. But I can say for myself that I have had one person enter my life who has changed the course of my life single-handedly, and that would be him. It's an experience like no other. It's like working for the apprentice, like being apprentice of Michelangelo, or something, like a master of the craft. And that's invaluable. You can go to many universities. You can study all you want. You can get books. You can YouTube. You can do whatever the fuck. But when you have the blessing to be in the presence of someone like that and watch them work and be a part of their work, it's just such an invaluable thing. And so it really does change your life very much, how you look at many things. But also, you know, for a lot of us, especially Donnie and I have something in common, I think is like, I don't want to speak for his personal life, but I think we both had a childhood where we had someone in our family who was not particularly supportive of what we wanted to do. In my case, it was my father. He passed away when I was young, but I wanted to have a guitar since I could breathe. I don't know why, but it's just that I do truly believe that I was put here to do what I do, because otherwise I don't know what else I would be doing. So I try and be true to that, because I feel like I've been given a gift. I can't read music. I don't know, but music was in me from the day I was born. And I wanted a guitar, and I wanted a guitar, and I wanted a guitar. And my father was like, "You'll never have a guitar." I was like, "Who do you think you are?
Really?
You know, girls don't play the guitar. No, you can't do this. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't." He passed away. I got a guitar for my 9th birthday after he passed away. Yeah. And I've never looked back. But I still have, and I think I carried it for a long time in tandem with my talent progressing, or my being able to recognize my gift of how I can figure out how to play music, and that it is something that I'm good at. has always been riding alongside that thing of like, you can't, you're not good, you're no good, you can't. So that comes with me with things. And I think Donnie had a similar thing. We talked about it, whatever his situation. But David was someone who validated us in a really special way. It was that person that said, yes, you can do that. I see that you can do that. You know, you can sing under pressure, or you can do that, or you can play the saxophone and you can do it. I see, it's clear to him, you know, so that meant a lot, you know, that to have his support in that way, to work with someone who was encouraging you every step of the way. He never put you down. It was never negative. There was no snide comments. There was no mean jokes. There was no nothing. There was no ego. It was like, we're here to create something. Go for it, God damn it. Fucking go for it. You can do this. And that means a lot. That meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to Donnie. And, you know, I think what's the beauty of David Bowie to me, when I think of him and I imagine him in front of me and I see him singing and I doing his thing, he is the beauty of an open vessel of what all people are, but we're, all of us are so closed off for whatever reason, whether we realize it or we don't, to letting in the ability to create things. And he was just a living, he was born open to that gift that he had, and he let it flow. It just, there was nothing was going to stop that. And that's a beautiful thing to watch. And we luckily got to experience all of the fruits of that, of his being such a clear, you know, open to creativity, which is what we're all put here to do, in my opinion.
Sat on the fence, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
And that was Gaylan Dorsey, and I really want to extend a really, really sincere thanks to her for this fantastic conversation. It was an absolute pleasure to spend time with her, and I hope you enjoyed it too. Keep an eye out on Gail's socials for upcoming music and gigs. And if you happen to be near Nashville, the Black Star Symphony are going to be playing there on June the 18th, and then again on June the 26th in San Francisco. Two places I've got absolutely no chance of being anywhere close to at that time, but I hope they come to London soon. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all the feedback on part one of this chat. Keep tuned, I've got another episode lined up for you fairly soon, which I really think you're going to love. But till then, take care, be good, and bye for now.